A few weeks ago, Time Magazine did an unexpected cover story on General Than Shwe. He is the leader of the ruling junta of Burma, the unrivaled dictator of the country. You can call him a tyrant. In 1990, he called for an election. He did not like the result of the election and dismissed the election. And you can call him also as an oppressor of his own people. Just recently, there was an uprising of the Buddhist monks, and he did not blink, shooting them and killing whoever was opposed to his regime. Meanwhile, the leader of the democracy movement and the Nobel laureate, Aung San Suu Kyi, is still languishing under house confinement. Just very recently, this was extended yet again. Now, this picture of the wicked ruler remaining in power while the virtuous crusader repressed is something duplicated in many forms, from smaller versions to even larger instances. Nakikita natin yung tanawi na yan, yung masama na nagaharing uri, samantalang yung matuwid, yung makatarungan, sila yung nasusupil. At ilang ulit nating nakikita yung ganyang tanawin sa mga mas maliliit na paraan o sa mas malalaking paraan. And that picture creates questions and puzzles. We inevitably ask the question, why? If there is a good God, why? Bakit? Kung mabuti ang Diyos, bakit niya hinahayaan o pinapahintulot ang bagay na ito? Well, that summarizes the puzzle of the psalm, which will be our brief series this month. It is a good follow-up, I believe, to our just concluded long series on Ecclesiastes, because Psalm 73 is also considered a wisdom psalm. Ito ay isa ring awit ng karunungan sapagkat nagbibigay ito ng kasagutan sa isang palaisipan. It raises the question that we have already encountered in Ecclesiastes again and again. And therefore, this psalm is a good follow-up because it corroborates the answer of Ecclesiastes. And to speak on a more personal note, Psalm 73 is one of my favorites. It is a psalm from which I derive strength periodically. Yung mga panahon na nagtatanong din ako sa mga bagay-bagay, itong awit na ito ay malimit kong balikan, pagbulayan, at isang personal na daluyan ng lakas pang espiritual para sa aking sarili. So at one time or another, I think you have raised some of the questions that the psalmist raises in this psalm, and I pray that it will prove profitable to all of us. I invite you now to turn your Bibles to Psalm 73. Let's read a few verses of the opening. Psalm 73, let's read verses 1 to 5, and then let's jump to verse 13 and following. Psalm 73, 1 to 5. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Now let's jump to verse 13 to verse 20. Verse 13. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to this desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Now, Psalm 73 to 89, let me just explain, constitute what is called the third book of the Psalms. Alam niyo, itong mga awit ay hinati sa limang mga aklat ng mga awit na corresponding to the five books of Moses. And so this Psalm 73 to 89 constitute the third book of the Psalm. And one thing about this third book, Psalm 73 to 83, are all attributed to Asaph. Itong awit mula 73 hanggang 83 ay pawang mga awit na sinasabing awit ni Asaph. Now, who was Asaph? He was a Levite musician whom David appointed to serve in the tabernacle until the temple was completed. And Asaph also was the father of the clan of temple musicians. So no wonder, therefore, that he would have his own collection of psalms. In fact, the very name Asaph means he collected. So nag-ipon siya ng mga awit at narito nga ang ilan niya mga awitin. At sa mga awitin ni Asaph, naniniwala ako na ang pinakabantog ay itong pag-aaralan natin. Psalm 73 is the most famous of Asaph's collection of hymns. It reflects his own thoughts. It reflects or it expresses his complaints. And the reason why this is famous is that we sympathize with it. It wins our own feelings, our own sympathy. He opens the psalm with a very positive assertion, truly God is good. Now, I ask you, imagine if Asaph stopped there and decided to just be polite. Do you think this would be a memorable psalm? I wouldn't think so. It is by raising the honest thoughts of his heart that he has immortalized this psalm. And one thing that it tells us is, it is always better to be honest to God. You don't need to be polite to God just for the sake of being polite. You need to be honest to God. And the honesty of the Old Testament saints can sometimes make your hairs stand on end. Yet they were honest. And here is the psalmist being honest to his God. And that very honesty immortalized this psalm. Yung kanyang katapatan sa Diyos ay siyang dahilan kung bakit naging immortal itong awit ng 73. In raising those honest thoughts, he summarizes the problem with these words, I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. So that's the summary. The psalm revolves and develops on that theme of the problem, or shall I say, I use the word puzzle, of the prosperity of the wicked. Yung palaisipan ng pananagana ng mga masama. Yan ang naging palaisipan para dito sa umawit. He honestly raises his struggles and doubts. Ultimately, he finds rest in the profound answers, but not after painful struggle. Revolving on that issue. And from that, I want to draw this message. The apparent prosperity of the wicked should not blur from view their real misery. The apparent prosperity of the wicked should not blur from our view their real misery. Yung tila pananagana ng mga masama ay hindi dapat itago sa ating paningin yung tunay nilang miserableng kalagayan. Kuminsan nakikita lang natin kung gaano sila sumasagana at nalilimutan natin yung talagang kalagayan nilang miserable. At ito ang pinag-isipan nitong si Asaph. Prosperity on the one hand and misery on the other obviously are opposite words. They don't seem to fit together. And the psalmist initially sees prosperity as the lot of the wicked, and only on more profound reflection did he realize their misery. At tayo man dumaraan sa ganyan, may tinitingnan siguro tayong masama. Nakikita natin kung paano siyang pinananagana at nalilimutan natin yung talaga nilang kalagayan. Ganito ang nangyari kay Asaph. Initially looking at the prosperity of the wicked, and only on profound reflection did he realize how miserable they are and how much like us. Therefore, I invite you to join the struggle of the psalmist with his doubts until he got the answer. Two questions I want to raise. First, why is the prosperity of the wicked a puzzle to the saint? Why is the prosperity of the wicked a puzzle to the saint? Bakit ba ang pananagana ng masama ay palaisipan sa banal, sa matuwid? And second question is, how should the prosperity of the wicked be answered by the saint? How should the prosperity of the wicked be answered by the saint? Paanong ang pananagana ng masama ay sagutin ng matuwid? Unang tanong, bakit ba yung pananagana ng masama ay palaisipan sa matuwid?
Why is the prosperity of the wicked a puzzle to the saint? Asaph uses here the word that is the most meaningful in the Hebrew language, shalom. That's what he sees in the wicked. Shalom, there's no exact English word to translate shalom. We often read it in English as peace, but that's not enough. It can be prosperity, it can be anything that means wholesome, that which is purposeful, that which should be. That's what shalom is. And now, here are men which should not be. They are wicked. And yet, what happens to them is that it happens to them what should be. They're prospering when they are wicked men. And to follow the words of the psalmist, they have no pangs until their death. Their bodies are fat and slick. Eh, nainggit siya, but katataba ng mga taong to. Mukhang masagaan ang kumain ng mga ito. Magaan ang kumain. Yan ang nakikita niya. They have it easy in life. Yun ang kanyang palaisipan. But he is honest enough to confess the attitude of the heart that gave rise to such a puzzle. And I want you and me to be honest as well. What is the psalmist saying here? The puzzle is provoked by the inner problem of the heart, which is envy. That's what the psalmist confessed. I was envious. Nainggit ako. Yun ang dahilan ng kaguluhan sa kanyang puso, yung kanyang pag-aalinlangan, ay inggit ang bumalot sa kanya. And the word for envy here, let me explain, is not an essentially evil word. Sometimes in the Old Testament, it can mean jealous for God. Pwedeng isalin ito na paninibugho para sa Diyos. At sa ganyang salin, mabuting bagay ito. It will depend on the object of this jealousy when it becomes the evil word we know as envy. Now, obviously, what happens here to Asaph is that he was observing some specific cases of wicked people in his own situation. We know, and certainly Asaph knew, that there are wicked people in the world who are miserable. Alam naman natin na yung mga masamang tao naman na talagang miserable ang kalagayan nila. Kaya hindi totoo, tiyak na alam naman ni Asaph ito, na hindi naman totoong lahat ng masama ay lahat na nanagana. May mga masasamang tao na miserable ang buhay. Just to take one case, the so-called DC sniper, remember in 2002-2003, a man with his protege just started shooting people on a rampage, targeting people around several states, including Washington, D.C., and he got the tag of DC sniper. Well, he got caught. And now next month, he is scheduled to die by lethal injection. He deserves it, but it shows that here is a wicked man who made it a thrill to kill people. Now he's going to pay for it. He's in a miserable condition. He spent several years on death row. And unless given reprieve, he will die next month or this month. I read a story a few days ago. So this month of November, he's scheduled to die. Miserable. So it's not true that all wicked people are prospering. What happened here to Asaph is that it is by observing certain people. It is not a mere idea that provokes you to envy. Asaph, in other words, is not reflecting on the concept of prosperity of the wicked. He is not reflecting on the theology, why the wicked prosper. What happens here is that he is observing specific people within his situation who he knew to be wicked, and it struck him that they were prospering, and he was outraged by it. You see, we are not outraged by a mere idea. We are outraged by the sensuous of this world. It is because there are personified realities of people who are wicked that it outrages us when we see them prospering. As I said before, we can accept sad endings in a story. We cannot accept unjust endings. I mean, it is okay in a story if the bida of the story dies, if in the process, he gets the kontrabida. But imagine yung story, nanood ka at namatay na yung bida, ay nag-end na yung storya, ay ang sarap sa arap pa rin ng kontrabida, ay ang hirap naman tanggapin noon, baka hindi ka makatulog. We can accept a sad ending, we cannot accept an unjust ending. And that's precisely what we see in the world. Unjust spectacle of the wicked prospering. And in this connection, what exacerbates the puzzle for Asaph and for the saint is the arrogance of the wicked. Pakinggan niyo yung sinabi niya, they say, how does God know? And is their knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. In other words, as he listened to the language of these wicked people, the more he was hurt. Yung lengguahe nila ay arrogante pa sa Diyos. Buti sana kung kilalanin man lang nila, ngunit ginagamit pa nila yung kanilang kalagayan upang magsalita ng masama laban sa Diyos. At lalo itong naging masakit para kay Asaph. It's like what we say, rubbing salt on injury. So on the one hand, he has a problem of the heart, envy. And on the other hand, there's the problem he has to deal with the wicked. They were arrogant. They were using insolent language against God. If this were given to us to decide, we would destroy them in an instant. But why doesn't God? Yan ang problema ng psalmist. If it were within his grasp, he would destroy these wicked people who dare use insolent language against God. And yet, certainly God hears their language, yet God doesn't destroy them. And it led Asaph to some very depressing deduction. He said, all in vain have I kept my heart clean. Ang nasabi ni Asaph, walang saysay palang nagpapakabanal ako. Walang saysay na nagpapakasikap akong maging matuwid. Samantalang hinahayaan ng Diyos na yung masama ay magpakasagana. Samantalang akong nagpapakatuwid ay ito't hirap na hirap. And perhaps you experience that in the workplace. You see the undeserving rewarded while the diligent passed over. You see the authoritarian boss without any concern, hurting to your dismay, and nothing is done. And nothing can be done, apparently. And so you experience something of that sort. Certainly this happens in commerce. The cheaters gain, while the honest end up the losers. Definitely it happens in politics. The corrupt stay in power, while the honest crusaders are unjustly treated, if not actually harmed or killed. Here, Asaph does not name names, but there are surely specific wicked people he had in mind. And so perhaps you, sa sitwasyon mo, baka may mga masasama na merong dating sa'yo, at nagtataka ka bakit walang nangyayari sa kanila. This is a classic puzzle. Not only for the saint, in fact. One genius of the 20th century, Bertrand Russell, a philosopher and a mathematician, even wrote a book with the title, Why Am I Not a Christian? And one of the major reasons he gave was that I could not explain why evil people are prospering in the world. And he refused to accept the Christian God. It seemed easier to accept that there is no good God, and so there are evil things happening in the world, than to accept that there is a good God, and yet evil people are not punished. At yan yung palaisipan. Hindi lang para sa mananampalataya, kung minsan maging sa mga philosophers at iba pa. There is that man, that woman who just outrages you, mistreats you, and yet he or she is getting away with it. And polite language may tell you to just say, well, God is sovereign. And yet deep within,
It's a puzzle. But it's just like Asaph. In other words, you're not alone. It's normal for the struggling saint to have to grapple with this puzzle. Why does God allow it? Well, realizing that this is because of envy for our part, the challenge is it is not in us to change the condition of the wicked, but by God's grace, mortify envy.
Hindi natin mababago yung kalagayan ng masasama. Sila man ay sumasagana, ngunit sa biyaya ng Diyos, kinakailangan mong harapin ang inggit na maaring nananahan sa ating puso. You cannot control providence so that you can decide that the wicked or someone you know will not prosper. And you cannot definitely control the wicked. You cannot dictate his language or change his arrogance.
One thing that you can do is determine not to be ruled by envy. In another psalm, David says in Psalm 37:1, "Do not fret because of the evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity."
Huwag kang mabagabag lang dahil sa mga gumagawa ng masama, at huwag kang mainggit sa mga masasama.
And from wisdom literature, Proverbs 3:31, "Do not envy the oppressor and choose none of his ways."
Huwag mong kainggitan ang manunupil at huwag mong piliin ang kanyang gawi. So it is on the level of your determination by the grace of God. Even if this is a puzzle to me, I will not envy him.
You see, there is something about envy that causes disquiet, even when you are being blessed in quiet ways. Proverbs 14:30 puts it this way, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Our modern way of putting this is cancer to the bone. As far as I know, this is the most painful cancer known today. Cancer to the bone. And the way to deal with it is like cancer. You have to recognize that tumor in order that it will not metastasize, as they say, in order na hindi kumalat. You know, like cancer, and let me use this as illustration, it is so hard to deal with envy because it seems so like a part of you. Do you know why it is so hard to develop a vaccine against cancer? Because a tumor is not like virus or bacteria, which are foreign elements infecting the cells. A tumor is a collection of growing cells, aggressively growing cells that cannot stop dividing. And yet it is not a foreign element. It is not an entirely foreign element as a virus is. It does not infect healthy cells as bacteria and viruses do. So turning the immune system against cancer cells would involve turning the body's defense mechanisms against a part of itself. Yang hirap pa rin hanggang ngayon mag-develop ng vaccine against cancer because it's a part of your body that has grown out of control. Well, it's envy. Envy is so easy to justify. Envy is an extension many times of the way we think. Envy is many times reflective of your personality. And when it is active, it's so hard to recognize because it can hide in the guise of wounded righteousness. So beware if there is envy. That what we need is mortification. Identify those thought patterns that provoke you, the occasions that provoke you. What is it? There's the story of, in the Middle Age, of the story of a holy ascetic who could not be tempted by anything. You know, food, nothing. he would still continue fasting. Seduction, nothing. Until someone came to him and whispered to him, "You know the talk of the town? That your brother is holier than you are." And face began to register frown. The holy man could not accept someone is holier. It's envy. And we need to expose it. We need to understand it. We need to know the thought patterns. So this is why the prosperity of the wicked is a puzzle to the saint. But then secondly, how should the prosperity of the wicked be answered by the saint? I will be shorter here since part of the answer is in the next two messages. But let me just say here, the real misery of the wicked is about eternity that already bears on the present life. Yung tunay na miserableng kalagayan ng masama ay sa pangwalang hanggan na naaninag na sa pangkasalukuyan. Nakikita na ngayon yung kanyang kawawang kalagayan. The turning point for the psalmist is verse 16. "When I thought to understand it, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." Ano yung kanyang nakitang hindi niya nakita nung una? Yung kanilang kawakasan. "I understood their end." Remember how we encounter this word again and again in Ecclesiastes? Ecclesiastes 7:8, "The end of a thing is better than its beginning." In other words, the true measure of life is not prosperity. The true measure of life is what will it be in the end. And the word "end" is not simply the termination of life we call death. It includes that which comes after it. And measured by this, the wicked, for all their prosperity, come so miserably short so that their life become meaningless. Aesop's words from the word "shalom," now he gathers words of negativity, destruction, desolation, terrors. There's one word to summarize all that: hell. But what about their prosperity in life? Well, listen to verse 20. "As a dream when one awakes, so Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image." You see those two words: dream, image. What's their prosperity? It's just like a dream. One day they are going to wake up, and when they wake up, they will see terror. What's their prosperity? It's just image. And one day when the reality sets in, it's nothing but skin deep. It's nothing but garb. And when it is removed, they stand naked before God in all their real condition under damnation. And you, my friend, without Christ, is in that condition. Measure your life by the end, not by ambition, not by your present health, not by your potentials. Whatever good those things may be, if your end is like that of the wicked, then whatever it is you are enjoying now is a dream. It's an image. And oh, the folly of that life which is so occupied with life's prosperity, with no thought of end. And this is what we need to realize. Even in the midst of their apparent prosperity, the wicked can already sense the misery of hell here. That's why they need more prosperity. In order to quiet the conscience, they can't stand solitude and quietness that will activate their conscience. They need to be more busy. They need to be more occupied. They need to have more income. They need to have more socials and all those things to cover up the misery that their life is. Last August, the National Geographic magazine ran a cover story on Venice. And one thing about Venice is that it is being damaged by its own beauty. You know why? Because in Venice, there are more tourists than residents. And you don't expect tourists to be concerned about the city. They're just there to spend a few time to enjoy. So you see here, the very beauty can be its potential destruction. And that's the prosperity of the wicked. Yan yung pananagana ng masama. It will destroy them all the more. But let me end with this thought as a challenge. We are told that the turning point was when Asaph went into the sanctuary. And the challenge that I'd like to end with is this. The church must be a place where eternal issues are predominant concerns and themes. Ang iglesia dapat ay lugar kung saan mga pangwalang hanggang usapin ang sumasalubong sa mga dumadalo ng iglesia. When the psalmist mentions the sanctuary, the original sense, of course, was the tabernacle. That was the assignment of Asaph by David. But the New Testament significance of this definitely is the church. And the church must be a place which is about things of eternity. It must be a place when people attend, they will know of God. They will know of eternal destiny. They will know of heaven and hell. They will know of the Word of God. They will know of the gospel. They will know that whatever prosperity they have, the words of Jesus must ring loud on them. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? And that's what we want of the church. We don't want this church to be transformed into a place of entertainment. We do not want this church to be transformed into a company of politics. Let this church, by the grace of God, remain a church which is about eternity, so that struggling saints, when they attend here, after spending time in the world where they have been challenged about their faith and about reality, when they attend church, they get back to the reality that it is eternal things that matter. That even though they may not prosper as much as the wicked, they have Christ, they have God, they have the Word of God, and these are the things that matter. Martin Lloyd-Jones, as I told you, is one of the greatest influences in the revival of Reformed theology. But he did so not by writing a theology book. Now, there's nothing wrong about that. He did so by preaching on eternal issues. And when he wrote his thoughts about preaching, his masterpiece, Preaching and Preachers, there's one statement there that I have not forgotten. I read it as a young preacher. He said, "I can forgive a preacher anything, as long as he makes me encounter God." And that should be what people encounter in the church. Eternal truths. Eternal issues. Issues of the grace of God. So when you have to struggle with this doubt, why do the wicked prosper? Kapag ikaw ay nag-aanlinlangan, bakit ba nananagana ang mga masama at nagkakaroon ka ng mga pailaisipan, bumalik ka sa mga pundasyong bagay ng pangwalang hanggan. Why are you a Christian? Not because of your merits. You could have been just like those wicked. You could have been like those whose occupation in life is nothing else but prosperity. And you would probably enjoy some prosperity, but it's like a dream. It's just an image. And then you will end. It's therefore best that in the church, we are summoned back to issues of eternity. That the reason why you're different from those wicked people is because of the grace of God. Because God in His mercy has chosen us, and it should always be a note of wonder on our part. Not just the wonder of why the wicked prosper. When we are given the right thoughts, as here Asaph was, we are able to ask a deeper, a more profound, a more mysterious question. Why has the Lord chosen me? Why has the Lord granted grace to me? Not of anything in me, but only out of His sheer mercy and grace. And so, when you see the wicked prospering, they don't have what you have, but you have what you have because of the grace of God. Let us therefore conclude with this hymn that asks that question. Why have you chosen me? Out of millions, your child to be. You know all the wrongs that I've done. And then the commitment, Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Your word I will strive to obey. And my life I now give, for you I will live and walk by your side all the way. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos, kagaya ni Asaph, ay nararanasan namin ang gayong mga pagkakataon ng palaisipan kung bakit ang mga masasama na aming pinagmamasdan ay nananagana at ang palaisipan na yun ay kuminsan nagiging masakit para sa amin at kuminsan pa ay nagiging dahilan upang mawala, matabangan kami sa gawi ng katuwiran at kabanalan. At nawa nga ay ingatan namin ang aming puso at hayaan mo na makita namin ang tunay na kasagutan dito. Like Asaph, we are prone to this pain of watching the wicked, especially the wicked people we know who bear upon our lives, who probably do things and that wrong us, mistreat us, and they seem to get away with it. And it becomes a puzzle to us, a painful puzzle. And yet, may we realize that behind it is, as Asaph confesses, that of envy. And grant, O Lord, that may we realize we cannot do anything to change the condition of the wicked, but by God's grace, we need to mortify envy. We ask then that you would help us to be sensitive and to learn to mortify envy, with which sometimes can be a cancer in our souls. And like cancer, it is hard to identify, hard to mortify. We ask for mercy from you, that we may learn to identify the thought patterns, the occasions that make us envious, and help us to, by your grace, mortify this sin, and instead learn to answer profoundly the puzzle of the prosperity of the wicked. And it is by knowing their end. And by knowing their end, which includes death and the afterlife, that the wicked will fall so short and so miserably. For when we think of their condition, their prosperity in life will nothing be but a dream, just an image, skin deep. We pray, Lord, for those who here have not yet responded to the call of the gospel, who probably are occupied with their ambitions, occupied with the things of this world. And may they realize, let the words of Jesus ring loud to them. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? And at the same time, Father, it challenges us as a church. For as the psalmist had his turning point by going to the sanctuary, the church must be a place where eternal issues are predominant concerns and themes. And we ask, O Lord, that in this anniversary month, may we renew our commitment to be such a church. At a time when many are choosing to be churches and places where entertainment is the thing, and others have turned to politics and power play, may we be still a church in that old-fashioned sense of a place where eternal issues confront the hearers. So we ask, O Lord, that even now as we confront this puzzle, may we think of the greater puzzle than the puzzle of the prosperity of the wicked. And the greater puzzle is Why have you been gracious to us? For we could have been just like the wicked, spent our time in accumulating prosperity that will only be a dream and an image. And yet, out of your mercy, you have chosen us, you have called us, and you have delivered us from the clutches of satanic will. And we are now pursuing obedience to the word of God. We ask, O Lord, that even as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper, may this thought ring deeply in our hearts tonight. We are recipients of grace, and the reason is not in us. It is only in your mercy. Let that wonder be greater than the puzzle of the prosperity of the wicked, the wonder of your grace. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.